Hey, welcome to the Vineyard. Welcome to those of you joining us online. My name is Kevin. I'm one of the pastors, and I want to talk just for a moment to our online peeps, online Vineyard family. So I said this last week to you. I miss you. And so I asked you if you would send in a pic of you along with your names, and I'm going to put them in my office walls. And so we had a lot of you send in some pics. We wanted to show you one of those pics that was sent in last week. You didn't know you didn't know Bernie Sanders is watching. You didn't know that. You might have seen that meme going all over the place. So look, if you have not yet sent in your pic, just take a pic. You can text it to the number you see coming up on screen. Make sure we get your name. And I'm putting them all over my office walls because I miss you. And I want to see you every day. So send me your pic. So last week, my house, getting ready for bed, and I did something I don't often do. I reached down to pet one of our two cats. And as I reached down to pet the cat, it took its paw and just whoosh, and scratched me before I even knew it. So quick. And I felt this little tingle at the end of my thumb, and I looked down, blood is pouring out of my thumb. All over the bedspread, all over the carpet. We had to call 911. I'm just playing. It wasn't quite that bad. But I did get scratched, and there is one less cat at our house right now. I'm just playing about that too. My wife would never let that happen. But I was thinking, right? I got this scratch. I still got a scratch in my thumb. I'm thinking, my thumb is healing, right? It's amazing how God creates the human body to heal itself like that. But what happens when what's hurting in us is on the inside instead of the outside? What happens when our soul needs healing? This weekend, we're in part three of a series that we're calling 23andMe, which is a series about the most famous chapter in the Bible, Psalm 23. And Psalm 23 is all about the goodness and the faithfulness and the favor of God to you and me. In fact, Psalm 23 says this, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." And read those next four words with me, please, out loud. Ready? "He restores my soul." All right, I'm going to do that again. I want the online. Come on, online peeps, I want to hear you. Let's go again. Ready? "He restores my soul." He restores my soul. Now, what does that mean, "He restores my soul"? What's our soul? Great question. Our soul is kind of that part of you that thinks and chooses and feels. It's like your mind, your will, your emotions. It's your soul. So let's think about this for a moment. Because if those three things make up our soul, can our soul be damaged? Absolutely it can be. Think about the mind. Can you damage your mind? Yeah, big time. Trauma, things we take in to our mind, thoughts, things we can damage our minds. How about emotions? Can you damage your emotions? Absolutely. Emotions are probably the easiest ones to get damaged. It can be an event. It can be a relationship. Somebody says something. Somebody does something. I mean, our emotions can be damaged by a football team that never quite makes the playoffs. So look, today at 3:00, there's a big game on. God's team is playing a big game today. So I just want to encourage you, you might want to tune in and cheer for God's team. That happens today. Go Pack, go. So you got your mind, you got your will, and then you got your emotion. You got your mind, your emotions, you got your will. Can our will get damaged? Sure. By the choices we make or don't make. We want to do the right thing, but we don't do the right thing? Absolutely. So there's all kinds of ways our souls can get damaged, but I want to give you the big three. I want to give you the big three ways that our souls on the inside get damaged. But I want to ask you, if you'd locate an outline. And so here's how you locate the outline. You can download our Miami Vineyard app to your phone. If you haven't done that yet, there's a QR code coming up on screen. If you're in this room today, there's a QR code in the seat backs in front of you. Just scan that into your phone. You can go to the app store. You're online. Your online host can tell you to find this. And I want to encourage you to get this app because on the app, you can actually fill stuff in right on the app, just electronically, right there. on the app, and this is going to help you as you track with me today. So I'm going to give you three big things that damage our souls. Okay, here we go. Here's the first one. Unaddressed grudges. Now, none of us would know anything about holding a grudge. Right. We're all pros at this. Somebody does something. Somebody says something. And we get hurt. We get offended. And we hold on to what that person did. We hold it against them. It's a grudge. See, the reality is we live in an imperfect world. Folks, people are going to do things. Things are going to be said. Things are going to be done intentionally, unintentionally to us. It's just part of living in this world we live in. And what a person does or says can be extremely hurtful, no question about it. But do you know what can hurt us even more than what somebody does or says? What can hurt us even more than that is our response to it. So what do we do when we get hurt? Well, we just talked about it. We hold a grudge. We try to get even. Look what the Bible says in the book of Job. To worry yourself to death with resentment, holding a grudge, would be a foolish, senseless thing to do. We've talked about this so many times before here in this space. But we said, look, resentment, I know we like to hold resentment, but let's think about it. Resentment doesn't accomplish anything. Nothing. We think that if we hold a grudge against somebody, if we hold resentment against somebody, that somehow we're going to get back at them. But that, you know, that doesn't happen. They're moving on with their life. They're fine. They're going on. But we are stuck. Wherever the event happened, we are stuck at that point, and we can't move any further. But yet somehow we think that resentment does something. It's, you know what resentment is like? Resentment is like us drinking poison and expecting them to die. Tweet that. That's what resentment's like. But you know, but Pastor Kevin, you don't know what they've done to me. No, you're right. I don't know what they did to you. And look, I'm not saying that what they did to you didn't hurt. It hurt. And please, I am not trying to minimize your pain in any way. And some of you in this room and joining me online, some of you, what has been done to you, what has been said to you, should never be done or said to any human being ever. And if that happened, look, I want you to know, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But let me tell you something. If we don't forgive, we are going to be the ones that will be holding onto the hurt for the rest of our life. I'll talk more about this in just a minute. But one of a big deal, what damages my soul? First one is unaddressed grudges. Here's a second biggie that damages my soul. Here's a second biggie. That's unconfessed guilt. See, grudges are what people do to us. Guilt is what we do to them. Sins, bad stuff, bonehead stuff, mistakes. Okay, unconfessed guilt. And nothing can rob you of your peace, your joy, blessings that God wants to pour in your life more than unconfessed guilt. So I'm going to go ahead and I just want to do something right now, okay? Because we've all heard this, right? Confession is good for the soul. So I want to do something right now together. All of us in this room, those of you online, okay, we're all one family, okay? All of us together, okay? Here's what I want you to do right now. I want you to think about right now. I want you to think about the stupidest thing you ever did. The most bonehead thing you ever did. All right? Something that you know that you did but that was wrong, okay? I want you to think about it right now. Those of you in the room, those of you online. And at the count of three, we're going to yell it out all together. One big mass confession. Okay? Here we go. One, two. I'm just playing. Okay, we're not going to do some of you. I saw some of you breathing in like you're just going to let it fly. Now, look, that's not a bad thing to do. Confession is good for the soul. There's no question about it. But you know, unfortunately, you know, here's what really saddens me. There are a lot of people who think that God wants us to walk around feeling guilty. That somehow if I feel guilty and if I just walk around feeling guilty, that somehow is good for me. That somehow is gonna deter me from doing that same thing back over again. And a lot of people think that God wants us to walk around feeling guilty. Now, while I understand the idea, and I understand we need to learn from our mistakes and not keep repeating our mistakes, and I understand that guilt can be a gift from God to help us know we've done wrong. But carrying it around and beating yourself up with it and using it as a tool to help you do the right thing, that's never a good plan. Because here's what happens with us. We get guilt. Guilt piles up. We get shame. Shame piles up. And it gets after your self-worth. And it's a vicious cycle. Guilt, shame, negative self-worth. Guilt, shame, negative self-worth. And that is a spin cycle you don't want to be on. So what do we do with it? Well, there's a lot of ways we try to deal with this guilt that all of us have. We all got it. One of the ways we try to deny it, like, okay, that didn't happen. Okay, that never works. We try to bury it, like just push it away someplace, just push it down. But it always comes back up again at the most inopportune times. It's like, it's kind of like the walking dead. It just pops and appears. But let me give you the biggest way. Here's the biggest way we try to deal with our guilt. We try to rationalize it. Right? We know we did something wrong, but we try to rationalize it as if it's okay. So here's what rationalize is. Rationalize is you're trying to convince yourself in your head what you know in your heart is wrong. That's what rationalize is. You're trying to convince yourself in your mind what you know in your heart is wrong. You know what rationalize is? Here's what rationalize. Rationalize is simply telling yourself rational lies. That's all rationalize is. Tweet that. Telling yourself rational lies. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 20. The Lord gave us a mind and a conscience. We can't hide from ourselves. I love the Bible. It's just so right there in your face. Now, none of these ways work to remove our guilt. There's only one way to remove our guilt. Acknowledge it, own it, confess it. And the Bible says this in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what God says. That's what God says. And then here's the third biggie. Let me give you a third biggie. So we got unaddressed grudges. We got unconfessed guilt. Here's the third biggie that damages our souls, our souls. This one is unprocessed grief. See, we are all going to experience grief at some point in our lives because we live in a fallen world. This isn't heaven. This is earth. And a lot of times when we hear the word grief, we think about losing a loved one, and that is grief. That's tremendous grief and tremendous loss. But loss can be much bigger than simply losing a loved one. Loss could be, you can have grief because of a loss of a marriage, a loss of a relationship, a loss of a job. You can have grief because of a loss of an expectation that you so thought was going to happen, and the rug got pulled out from under you and it didn't happen. You can have grief that way. Some of us are being grief because of 2020. This past year, you had so many hopes and expectations of what was going to happen, and so much of that didn't happen, and you're experiencing grief. But unlike guilt and grudges, grief is actually a good thing. Grief is a blessing. Let me say that again. Grief is a blessing. Grief is a gift from God to help us process our losses. Some of you know that just a little bit over a year ago, January 1st of 2020, my mom passed away. What a way for my 2020 to start. My mom fought a courageous battle against breast cancer for years, but on January 1st, 2020, my mom passed. And can I just tell you, I thank God for the gift of grief. Because to lean into that loss and to cry and to weep and the emotion of grief, I just thank God for that emotion. Those are blessings from God. And then last week, I had a friend reach out to me. She lost her father to COVID just last week. She lives here. Her dad lives in New York. But you know, with COVID and restrictions, she couldn't go see him. She couldn't be there with him. And so we talked about this a little bit, and I gave her a word that I want to give you one word. When it comes to grief, I want to give you one word. The word is lean. Lean. You're going, what? Lean. When you experience loss, you've got to lean. Here's how you lean. First, you lean into the grief. You lean into the grief. See, I call this point unprocessed grief. Here's the problem. When we grieve, we experience loss. Oftentimes, we try to run from it instead of allowing the grief to do what God gave the grief to do. You've got to lean into the grief. When those waves come and you're on that roller coaster, up and down ride, and they'll come, you've got to lean into it. Don't run away from grief, because then grief becomes a problem and it damages your soul. But God gave grief as a blessing to process and help and heal our soul. So lean into the grief. And secondly, lean into each other. God gave us a gift of each other. And then we'll come back to that in just a moment, but also lean into God. Look what the Bible says. Lean into God. Look what it says. It says, Lord, have mercy because I'm in misery. My eyes are weak from so much crying. My whole being is tired from grief. So we got to lean into God. And then, as I mentioned, we got to lean into each other. I cannot tell you what it meant to me when my mom passed a year ago to have so many of you reach out to me, calls, texts, emails, cards. So many of you reached out to me when that happened. I can't tell you what that meant to me. And folks, this is one of the reasons why we have small groups here at this church. Groups of 3 to 4 to 5 to 10 people that can live life with you and process life with you, can grieve with you, can have joy with you, and can celebrate with you. It's what we call small groups. And I want you to hear from one of our Vineyard family about her experience with life and grief, and small groups. Here's Miracle Story. Watch this.
We were premature. We were born, I believe, like 3 months early, and we weighed less than 2 pounds each. So unfortunately, I was not alive when I was born, but the doctors were able to revive me. And so, like, that in itself is like, wow, that's a miracle. So my mom named me Miracle. She changed my name, thankfully, from something else. She had 5 beautiful children, and at 18 years old, my twin brother was killed, and it was the hardest thing that my family has ever experienced, and it was definitely not something that we could have ever imagined happening to us. Looking back on it, I see God's hand in my life. I see how he carried me through. And I just felt like if this is the kind of God that people talk about, this is the kind of God that I want to follow. Coming to Vineyard was like a no-brainer. Nothing that you're facing is intimidating to God. He knows everything that we're going through, and he cares more about us than we care for ourselves. And so that type of God you should seek after with like everything you have. Don't hold back. Just get involved and connect to these groups, because it is life-changing. No one forces you to speak. No one forces you to pray or answer questions if you're not ready. It's very encouraged to take your time and just listen. You get a lot by listening. And then when you feel inclined, which you will, you can share. There's no judgment. I was able to find a community that would walk with me, that would encourage me, that would pray for me. And it was all very authentic. And it was just obviously one of the greatest choices I've ever made. Life is better in small groups.
I love that last line Miracle said. Life is better in small groups. And so I would invite you, We've been inviting you now for a couple of weeks to be involved in a small group here at this church, whether in person or online. There's a lot of groups meeting by Zoom right now because of the season we find ourselves in. Some meet in person. They meet all different times, different days. What's a small group? 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 people that meet together, get to know each other, talk about life, talk about the Bible together. There's a leader for these groups. So I want to invite you. Small groups kick off the second week of February, right after the Super Bowl. That's when small groups kick off. But right now is a sign-up time. And so you might notice out in the lobby, if you're here in person, an expo that's happening in the lobby. If you're joining us online or even here in this room, look, here's how you can find out a small group. So you go to the app. Just simply go to the app. At the top of the app, you click where it says join a small group. You click right there and a listing of all the small groups will come up. It tells you what time they meet, what days they meet, what the leaders are. It gives you a list right there of your small groups. And so I want to encourage you. I want to invite you, encourage you, challenge you to be in a small group this season and see what God's going to do in your life. We are better together. So what do we do with all this stuff that damages our soul? How does the good shepherd, remember we read in the beginning, Psalm 23, he's the good shepherd, he restores my soul. How does this good shepherd restore my soul? If you're taking notes, here we go. 3 quick things. First, Jesus turns my hurts into holiness. Now, let me explain that for just a moment, because that sounds a little weird. What? He turns my hurts into holiness. Here's what this means. God can bring good out of the bad. I want you to see a verse in the Bible. It is one of the most famous verses in the Bible. Look what it says. Next verse, Romans 8:28. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Now, that can also be one of the most misunderstood verses. Let me tell you what that verse is not saying. That verse is not saying that God causes all things. Okay, God does not cause all things. God does not cause cancer. God does not cause COVID. God does not cause injustice. Okay, God does not cause all things. But what this verse says is this, that God can cause even those negative things to work together for good because he's God. That somehow, in God's supernatural power, he can take even the negative things that have done to you, that have been done to me, and God can take those things because God specializes in bringing good out of bad. And look, I have no doubt that if we take our lives, just think about your life for just a moment. Think about some of the negative things that have happened to you. And now tease it out just a little bit. In your life, some of these negative things that have happened. And now think about how that thing that happened to you, it formed you, it shaped you, it molded you. That's what God will do. It formed you, it shaped you, it molded you. And that's what God will take our wounds and turn them into wisdom. God will turn our pain into gain. God will take correction and use it for perfection. God uses our offenses to remove our pretenses. That's what God will do. God will do that in our life. And here's the goal. Look, here's the goal. Romans 8:29. So it's not just 8:28. You can't read 28 without reading 29. 28 and 29 go together, like peanut butter and jelly. 28 and 29 go together. Look, from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to him should become like his son. The reason God is making all things fit together so we would become like his son. Now, the only way we're going to be like his son is to experience the same things that Jesus experienced. So all those negative things, Jesus had all those negative things. All those negative things we experienced, God is going to use them to form us, to shape us, to mold us, to form us, to shape us, to mold us, so we would become like his son. So Jesus turns my hurts into holiness if we give our hurts to him. He turns my hurts into holiness. That's number one. Here's number two. Jesus, what about my guilt? Number two, Jesus takes my sins upon himself. I mean, if I think about this, this would be reason enough to become a Christian. If there would be no other reason, there's a million other reasons, but if there would be no other reason to become a Christian, than simply to have Jesus take all my guilt upon himself? That'd be reason enough. Notice these verses from the great prophet Isaiah, speaking of Jesus. He was wounded and crushed for our sins. Jesus was beaten and took our punishment so that we might have peace. And through his wounds, our souls are healed. All of us have strayed away like sheep, but we have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the guilt and sins of us all. See, here's what this verse is saying. That everything we've ever done wrong, all your sin, which is a lot, all my sin, which is a little, everything we've ever done, everything we have done, everything we will ever do, what you're going to do tonight, what you're going to do tomorrow, what you're going to do 10 years from now, everything in your past, everything in your future, everything has been forgiven because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. And when Jesus Christ was crucified to that cross, he held his hands out. He said, I love you this much. It's already been done. See, this is what makes Christianity different from every religion in the world. Every other religion in the world is all about do. What do I have to do to get forgiveness? What do I have to do to earn eternal life? What do I have to do to get to the supreme being, whatever the supreme being is? What do I have to do? But Christianity is all about done. It's already been done. Some of you need to hear these words. That one word today, done. Because you did something. Yesterday, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and you can't get over it. You did it. You know you did it. But you are just beating yourself up with it, and you are just carrying it around, and you are trying to undo the wrong, and you are spending your entire life trying to undo the wrong as if that's going to somehow it's going to take care of the guilt. That's never going to happen. It has been done because of the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And some of you today, you simply need to hear the word done. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross, he said these words, it is finished. Now, he wasn't finished because he rose from the grave 3 days later. But he said, the sacrifice for your sins has been paid. It is finished. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. Some of you just need to hear those words today. It is done. You are forgiven. So Jesus turns my hurts into holiness. He takes my sins upon himself. And here's number three. Jesus, when it comes to grief and loss, he feels my grief and heals my heart. That this God, the Good Shepherd, he knows what we're going through. See, here's something we don't often think about when it comes to loss. Do you realize this? God lost a son. He lost his son, Jesus Christ. He was murdered, crucified on a cross. God knows the pain of loss. Sometimes we think, well, God, he's God. Like, he's somewhere up there, who knows where. God doesn't really know what we're going through. Are you kidding me? God knows the pain of loss. He grieves with you. He grieves with you, and he heals your soul. Look what this last verse says. It said, God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. That's what a good shepherd does. He heals, he forgives, he restores. He heals, he forgives, he restores. And I want to invite him to do that in our lives right now. So, would you pray with me for just a moment? Can I ask you maybe, whether you're in this room or you're at your home or wherever you may be joining us online, can I ask you just to maybe bow your heads and close your eyes just to block out distractions? Because right now is a moment between you and God. Because the good shepherd is here to heal, to redeem, to forgive, to restore. And I don't know what you may be going through today, but I know there's all kinds of stuff in this space and in your space online that we're going through. Some of you, it's something that's been done to you, and you just can't get past it. It's been done to you, and there's just this grudge thing. There's just this thing in you, and maybe you were fired from a job, or maybe you've been betrayed, or maybe somebody lied to you. Maybe you were looked over. Maybe it was abuse in some kind of way, or somebody said something, somebody did something, and you just can't quite get past it. Or maybe it was something that you've done, and you're carrying it around with you that you just wish if there was a way you could turn back the hands of time. Can I get a redo? And you're just carrying it around. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you were the one who cheated. Maybe you were the one that did the betrayal. Maybe that's you. Or maybe you experienced some kind of a loss. A loved one passed away. Maybe it was a divorce or a breakup. Or a job, financial loss. Maybe it was a miscarriage. And there's a very real loss in your life. So I want to invite us to do something right now. Whether you're in this room or you're watching at home, would you put your hands together right now in your lap, like just cup them together like somebody's going to pour something into your hands. And what I want you to do right now is I just want you to, all that stuff that we're just talking about right now that you might be carrying around, the guilt, the grief, the grudges, I just want you to put them into your hands right now. Just put all that stuff in your hands right now. And here's what it wants to do. I want you to keep your hands together right now and slowly lift them up toward heaven. And as you get your hands above your head, just to separate your hands and just keep your hands up in the air and just let all that stuff go. Just all over this room, hands are lifted toward heaven right now. Just let it go. Let the power of the living God come and heal you, restore you. Just let it go. All over the world right now, hands are lifted high. We just say, God, we let it go. We give it to you, oh God. We give it to you. We let it go. We let it go, God. Let your healing come. Come, Holy Spirit. Let your healing come in this place. God, heal the grief. God, heal the loss. God, let forgiveness reign in this room. Come, Lord, all over this place, all over this place, all over this place, all over your space and your home. God, let your presence come. And can I just invite you that if there's never been a time in your life that you can point back to where you have opened your life to Jesus Christ in a very real way, why not today? Just follow me in this simple prayer, just inside. Say, Jesus, today, I open my life to you. I commit my life to you. I want you to be my good shepherd. I want to follow you. Today, I place my trust and my hope in you. And God, I thank you for what you're doing in our space, in our world, in our hearts, in our lives, in our minds, in our wills, in our souls today. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.